Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. It's Savannah Murphy with All In, where your existence is authentically you. We get into real talk, real time. Let's go. You guys, I am so, so excited for the guest that I have on today. This is a testimony that you do not want to miss. We are brought to you by Bashani Radio in New York City, where we're always talking about everything. And this guest here has such a testimony and so much to share that I know it's going to touch many lives. With that being said, Jamie Gibbons, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. We are, you know, here at All In, like, we talk about testimony, we talk about helping others, we talk about being authentic, we talk about, you know, the real, the raw, everything. And you live your life daily by this. I mean, from a social media post, obviously, I know you personally, but you really bear it all, and you're such a light in this world, especially in a time like we're going through with this pandemic. So with that being said, I really wanted to just get a little bit about you, you know, tell the listeners a little bit about who you are, what your daily life looks like, and are you a mommy, those things, and then we'll jump into your story.
Okay, yeah, so I'm a mom of three wonderful but super exhausting, crazy kids. I have a 10-year-old going on 25, six, or she thinks she's 16, a daughter, who is just the light of my life. But, you know,
she's a 10-year-old girl.
She's a 10-year-old girl, and it's a lot of fun right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she is a competitive dancer, so that kind of, you know, runs my whole evening, usually, outside of this pandemic. I have a 5-year-old son who is the most creative little kid I've ever met in my life. He loves music. He loves to draw. And he also loves to drive me crazy. And then I have
his dad, you guys.
Oh my gosh, just like his dad. And then I have a just turned 2-year-old little girl who is spoiled rotten.
The baby
refers to herself as baby. You try to call her by her name and she says, no, baby. So she's spoiled rotten and she knows it, but they are, you know, they are just, they give me meaning, you know, they are the reason why I'm here. So as much as they drive me crazy, they bring me love and life too. So and the other side of that, I work. So just part-time. I do hospital work. I work in utilization at Beaumont Hospital. And I also am a doula, a birth and bereavement doula. So I help women give birth and help educate and advocate and support them through their whole birth journey, whether it be prepartum, postpartum, or struggling with bereavement, which would be the loss of a child, you know, through miscarriage or death, and you know, even struggling to get pregnant. So yeah,
which is a huge, huge purpose, and a huge thing that, you know, helps people, and helping women, helping families, helping couples, just get through such a sensitive time, and really being able to walk them through that. And I think that's such a huge thing for you. And I know that you're really big into health and kind of natural ways of living too. So you have kind of a whole different like lifestyle that you're doing.
Yes. Yes. I'm very like, hippie-ish, I guess, if you will. a lot of people that know me and my family just always say I have a hippie heart, and I try to be as, I guess, natural or organic as possible, and I use that in every sense of the world and or every sense of the word, whether it be the way that we eat or, you know, just my overall personality. I always try to be real and raw and genuine and teach my kids and my family that too. So I actually, and this might be news to you too, Savannah, just got a new job at an alternative birth center. So
congratulations.
Yeah, as a birth assistant. So it's a birthing center where women come where they want to do a completely natural birth. So I will be there to help support them through that. We don't offer any type of medication at all, just strictly water birth or unmedicated birth and however they choose to do it. So, yeah. So that's.
Wow. You just like many, many hats. This is a woman that takes on just a ton and continues to give back and continues to be a part of, you know, just really living through her testimony and allowing others to grow through it. So, you know, with that, if you're comfortable, I just want to really get into kind of your story and how you found, you know, your purpose in such pain and painful experiences and in triumph during tragedy.
Okay, so I guess I'll take you guys all the way back to, let's say about 2010-ish, when I gave birth to my second daughter, just 16 short months after I gave birth to my first daughter. Raya is my daughter's name, and she was born a little bit early. And we knew before she was born that there was going to be some complications. We didn't know the extent of it, but we knew that there was going to be, we knew something was wrong. You know, she was born and she was extremely small. But besides that, there wasn't a whole lot that we noticed. She had a little bit of a blood disorder, called thrombocytopenia, which is like a low platelet count. She was transferred into the NICU for a few weeks just to receive some transfusions to get her blood counts up. And then they sent her home. It was about her 3-month checkup appointment, and they noticed a little bit of a head lag and they wanted to send her in for an MRI. And from there, I guess you could say our whole world kind of started spiraling downhill. Her MRI, we received the news that her myelin sheath, which is like a white matter in your brain, was severely damaged. So from there, we knew she would never be normal, if you will. We didn't know, you know, exactly what it would lead to, but we just knew that she would never be able to do things that most kids would. You know, and to remind you, at this time I was only about 23 years old, so I was very young.
Just a baby yourself.
Just a baby myself, going through this. You know, just trying to figure out, trying to be a mom to two babies, and let alone one with severe special needs. So the journey continues on, and we did the best we could, and you know, things didn't progress at all the way that we were praying and hoping that they would. She was never able to talk or walk or feed herself. She was very, very behind in everything. Although, you know, through a lot of help with physical therapy and occupational therapy, she did advance a little bit, advance in terms of from where her baseline was, not a normal baseline. She was able to prep, sit on her own and do certain things. We noticed about at, I would say probably right before her second birthday, that she started declining a bit in the ability she was gaining. She had to go in for a yearly MRI, and at that MRI of that year, they sent her for an emergency CAT scan, and when we went in to receive, you know, the clinical information of what was happening, the doctor made us aware that her condition was progressing. We never got a diagnosis for the genetic disorder that she had, but they were trying to find a diagnosis, but it never happened. They said it was such a rare case. So we were made aware at that appointment that her condition was progressing. And at that point, I made the decision to put her on palliative care, which is basically more of like a, it's not as intense as hospice, but just more of a relaxed care. So we didn't have to continue to bring her into the doctors, and we would have just one steady doctor that would take care of her. Her condition progressed rapidly, I would say, after that. And in April of 2013, she was 2.5 years old. She actually ended up passing away. So, and during that time, this was my first marriage. So during that time, you know, my husband at the time and I were split up and going through a divorce. And it was just a really, really dark and hard time.
I can't even imagine.
Even just thinking about it brings all the emotions back. You know, it was a really hard time. You know, and my childhood, I had a pretty rough childhood growing up. Savannah, I know you can kind of relate with this. Had a mom who was very inconsistent. My grandma raised me. My grandma passed away when I was 19. And so I was basically left, you know, and in those moments, it's like, you just wish like I had a mom to turn to, somebody to. So alone, didn't have really anybody. I mean, I had friends and family, but not that support that I needed. So it was in those moments that I knew I had to fall into God, because he was all I had. He honestly was all I had. So I just went running to his arms and, just prayed that he would catch me. and that's what he did, because, you know, through the next months, you know, even though they were hard, a lot of positive things came from it. You know, eventually I met Mark, and, you know, my life started to come together and things started to blossom and flourish from it. So then I met Mark, and then
Mark is her partner, and you can watch his episode, at one point, because he will be a guest as well, but,
I love that he's a man that is willing to share his testimony. I tell him all the time, I'm like, there are so many men who don't talk. You need to get out there and talk and show men that it is okay.
So yeah, it's so powerful.
I love that he's open for it. But yeah, so then, do you want me to continue on with this emotional
roller coaster? Yes, let's continue on. We'll get a little bit into this, and then we'll take a little break and reconvene into that. But so you met Mark, and your world started to kind of, pieces of the puzzle started to come together.
Yes, pieces of my puzzle started to come together. And shortly after I met him, we actually ended up getting pregnant, which was obviously not planned at all after just losing a daughter and everything that I just went through. But it was definitely a blessing in disguise. I was terrified the entire pregnancy, just not knowing if, you know, it would end up the way that my previous, you know, pregnancy went down, and just terrified the entire time. A lot of raw emotions coming out, a lot of trauma that kind of came to surface. But thank goodness, with a lot of praying, everything ended up being great. And we have a happy, healthy, wild little boy on our hands. So definitely a blessing. And then about a year after Abel was born, we found out we were pregnant again. Which again was not planned.
God's
this
plan.
This time it wasn't so traumatic, because I, you know, yes. We just went with it. And I was actually like super excited to have kids that were so close in age. And, you know, so we went with it. And I wasn't so nervous this time, like I said, because, you know, my last pregnancy went very well. And I just had a feeling this one was going to be the same, which for the most part it was, until I hit about 35 weeks. And the doctors noticed that there were some issues going on. So it was that day I went into my doctor's appointment, and they did an ultrasound, and they noticed that I was carrying some extra packets of fluid. And I knew right then that something wasn't right. The doctor said that I needed to come back the following Monday, and if it wasn't, if it was still the case, that they were going to have to induce me right then, which they didn't have to because I was so stressed out that day that I went into labor that night.
Oh my gosh.
It ended up delivering my daughter, who was instantly transported to Vinted and transported to the NICU as soon as she was born. She was severely sick, and it was within a few weeks of her birth that we were made aware that she had a very rare genetic disorder called ACTA1, which was completely different because we were in the same hospital that Raya was at, and I made everyone aware, all the doctors aware of my previous situation. We were able to have most of the doctors that were on Raya's case on Kana's case. And her geneticist, which was also Raya's geneticist, did an extensive background and said that they were two completely different cases, completely unrelated.
Oh my gosh. Well, and I'm going to just pause you right for that. Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to catch back up, and we're going to finish out this amazing testimony. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Excellence, experience, prompt service. This is what you get from Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Jones Labor Services. We have over 20 years experience. Good Helpers is there to make your life easier. With 20 years experience, we can take care of any heating or cooling situation. Let Good Helpers help you. Call 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
All right. Thank you so much. We are back, you guys. And if you're just tuning into the second part of this interview, I urge you to listen to the first part of the interview because it's just full of amazing testimony and just faith and just an inspiration. But if you're just tuning in now, stay with us. And we're going to dive into a little bit deeper with Jamie Gibbings, who is a mom, a faith warrior, a woman, a partner, a doula, a health hippie, just a whole gag and caboodle of different things that she just rocks. And Jamie, with that being said, I know that you have, have a company, Miracles and Raindrops. Do you want to give anybody or give the listeners a way that they can maybe get in touch with you or send questions or just commentary, or even if they want to send you kudos, how can they do that?
Yeah, so I have a website. It's just miraclesandraindrops.com. On there, I have my blog post on there, all of my information to contact me. And it's basically just a way for women who are currently pregnant or plan to become pregnant, or women who are pregnant and know that maybe their babies aren't expected to live. I'm a doula, and I can help support those women in any of their circumstances. Even if you're a mom who's lost a baby and just need somebody to talk to or somebody to help guide you, I'm here. And my website is definitely the best way to get a hold of me. I have all of my information listed on there, and it's miraclesandraindrops.com.
Okay, thank you so much. And I hope if anyone resonates with that, that they reach out to Jamie. And just to give you a quick recap, so Jamie has gone through in the first half a little bit about, her humble beginnings and, coming from a rough childhood where she, there was addiction and there was a lot of different trials and tribulations to becoming a young mom and a young wife and losing a child. Just a really unknown reason and just really being lost, but being able to hone on to her faith during that time and continuing to not give up and fight back against life and being a mom for her oldest daughter and continuing to just strive to find love again and find herself. And she did. And where we just left off in the first part of the story was she had had another child, and unfortunately things were not looking well. So if you want to pick back up where you left off, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah. So we got the news that her genetic testing came back, and she was positive for a genetic disorder called ACTA1, which is where just one single muscle protein either overdeveloped or didn't develop correctly. And it just made her very weak and unable to even hold her lungs open to breathe. So at this time, she was vented. And after we received this news, although at the time we had an amazing attending NICU doctor who wanted to fight as hard as he could for her, unfortunately, it just wasn't a part of God's plan. No matter how hard we fought here on earth, it just was never going to win the battle of him bringing her home. So we had to make the decision to extubate her, basically. So she was about a month and 2 days, and we luckily had the same palliative care doctor that took care of my daughter, Raya, who passed away, was also made aware of this case. And her and I had a very strong connection and bond that we developed, through Raya's care. And she's just the most, Dr. Tremonti at Children's Hospital, and she is just the most amazing doctor that anyone could ever meet. And I'm so thankful for her. And she made, the best out of a very horrible situation. Right. So I was able, one of the things that I'll always remember that she had said to me when we were trying to make the decision, like, should we just keep her on the vent and see what happens, or should we take her off the vent and see what happens? Like, either way, we didn't know what would happen either way. Right. And she told me, she said, "Jamie, if you could choose how you wanted to die," which nobody wants to think about that, right? Like, dying isn't in the realm of anything that we think about, but it's very real, and it's just inevitable. It's something that we have to think about, and unfortunately for us, we had to think about this at a very early stage. Nobody, especially after giving birth, wants to think about their baby dying, but it happens, it happens. Right. And she said, "If you could picture how you could die, how would that picture look to you?" And I just said, "I don't know, because I've never thought about it." And she said to me, "I would be a very old woman with my children around me, and I would curl up in my mom's arms, the most loving place that I've ever known. And that's how I would want to die." And right. She said, "And Kana gets this chance. And if you don't take her off the vent, she might not get that chance, because she'll die in the hospital and you might not even be there." Right. And so that's the decision we made. And I got to hold her as she took her last breaths. And even though it was probably another very hard moment, the second hardest moment of my life, the first would be holding Raya after she passed, but it was still beautiful. I just had closing my eyes, and I had envisions of me handing her over to Jesus. And it was like, in that moment, as soon as I handed her over, Dr. Tremonti whispered, "She's gone." So it was just in those moments that I was kind of just reaffirmed in my faith, and to know that she's safe.
And that's, that's so, it's so unimaginable going through it once, let alone twice. And you honoring your daughter's, both of your daughter's memories, and fighting for your purpose and your passion and your life, and being such a present mom for the children that are still here with you, while also always honoring. And, when you're asked, how many kids you have, I know you don't just say the kids that are here on earth. You say the kids that you are a mom to, in fact,
Say five.
Yeah. And that's, and that brings us next to the next part of this. So, after, losing Raya and losing Kana, and in keeping your faith through all this, which I know so many people, whether you are listening and you are a believer or you are not, we have all traveled against tough times and unimaginable things, and or maybe you haven't and you've yet to experience that, but we all experience it at some point in some level of our life. But being able to go through something like that and still keep a presence and a light and a conviction in that is so honorable, and not giving up. So were you done having kids then, or you said five? So I'm not great at math, but what are we missing here?
Yeah. So about a year, it was actually on the day after, like, so a year later after Kana passed away, it was actually, so Kana passed away, September 28th, and on like September 29th of the following year, we found out we were pregnant again.
Oh my goodness. And what was that like? What were the thoughts? What was the process for you?
Well, as much as I want to say I gave it to God and I just trusted that He had a plan, I was terrified. Again, a lot of trauma surfacing, a lot of fear, a lot of doubt, a lot of what if I can't do this time, a lot of feeling alone, just a lot of feelings that were so unexplainable, just all over the place. One minute I'm up, one minute I'm down, and it was scary. But you know, thank goodness everything ended up okay. Because I just don't think that like I could go through that again, losing another child. And now, even now, like I would totally want another baby. But I'm terrified given the pattern of every other pregnancy being, some type of a genetic, factor. I would never want to put myself, my family, or another baby through that. So now we're done, but we did end up having one more. We didn't find out, whether she was a boy or a girl. And, I did a water birth with her. And when I pulled her from the water, and later on my chest, and I was just in shock that, like, okay, you know, I just gave birth, obviously.
Right.
Like, if you're a mom, you know that feeling. So it took me a minute, but after a minute, I was like, what is it?
Yeah.
We didn't know, you know, if it was a boy or a girl. And the nurse said, it's a girl. And I just started crying and was instantly terrified. And I just said, is she okay? And they took her and they cleaned her up, and I was kind of just waiting for them to say something, but they didn't, and everything was okay. And even for the next couple of days, I was just waiting and just thinking, like, this can't,
just
this
holding your breath.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I just didn't, like, another girl and this, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Just always, like, just very anxious and thinking the worst. But it didn't. And I'm, praise God for that, because he fulfills his promises, and I'm forever blessed with an amazing little girl who looks exactly like Raya, and I truly believe has the same personality that Kana would have had.
And see, you have,
is a firecracker.
Yeah, you have two angels working for you, and you know, in this culmination of, you know, your last child, and you know, now you have this beautiful family and this beautiful purpose and this beautiful story of helping people, and having just gone through so much that, you know, by sharing it and being so raw, you know, you're touching lives. And I know that this is going to, touch people's lives. And even if it's one person, it's so worth it. But, you know, unfortunately we don't have that much time left, but I want to ask you, you know, for you either now or, you know, in the future, once kind of everything comes into fruition and you're fulfilling your purpose, what does All In mean to you?
Oh, that's a big question. So for me, you know, after the death of my two daughters, and I just knew that these things don't happen for just any reason, and there's a greater purpose behind this, and that's when I started searching and became a birth and bereavement doula, and helping women give birth in any trimester, and helping women give birth to stillborns, to babies they know aren't going to live, and just being there to advocate and support them. And for me, All In means exactly that. Just being there for other people and taking yourself out of the equation and knowing that there is so much more to this life than just these hardships that we're given. And it's actually a beautiful thing. Like, hardships are obviously they're called hardships for a reason. They're hard.
Right.
But you have to dig and fight beyond that and know that there's a greater purpose and meaning. And usually that involves helping others get through exactly what you just went through. It just means letting go of your guards and your walls and embracing people and loving them and helping them through whatever it is that they're trying to get through. And to keep going, don't stop there, but keep going, because there's always something else, you know, there's always bigger things to be filled and bigger purposes to be seen. So,
and you have such a story, and I urge everyone to kind of reach out to you. And you said that that's miraclesandraindrops.com, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And I just urge everyone to do that, because I mean, she's a plethora of knowledge, you guys. And, really that's all in. You're right. It's testimony, and you share it, and you reach so many people, and you go through the dark seasons, but there's light at the end of the tunnel, and you have a story that's filled with so many chapters that take you up and take you down, but it's a beautiful story because it's yours. And, I thank you. And with that was all in, and we're out.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The All In Show with Savannah Murphy on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything. We all have a story to tell. What's yours? Syndicated worldwide listen on Bashani app. Sponsored by Good Helpers Heating and Cooling and Labor Services, the number one HVAC company in Metro Detroit. 313-270-3600. 313-270-3600.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio app, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.